Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We're not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because he said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I do not perform my Father's works, don't believe me. But if I do perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we enter into this final phase of Lent, meditating on the Passion, especially reliving the mystery of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Christ, her crucified Son, which is the prayer that the Church prays on this Friday of the fifth week, we are thrown into the fulfillment of the experience that Jeremiah had in the first reading. Terror on every side, enveloped as Jesus was, like his prophets before him, by evil, being denounced by those you had come to announce the gospel, trapped by those you had come to free, hated by those you had come to love, persecuted by those you had come to say, "Follow me." Jeremiah cried out, and we heard this same cry on Saturday. It was the cry throughout the book of the prophet Jeremiah, "Let me witness the vengeance you take on them, Lord." He was entrusting his cause over to the Lord, but awaiting his vengeance. And the fulfillment of this would be, as we know, the vengeance of the Lord's mercy, his retaliation, would be not to wipe away the evil that was being done, but to take it upon himself and suck the venom out of the hearts of those who were doing it. That vengeance is what we enter into. Jesus wants us not only to appreciate it, but he wants us to become part of that retaliation. A retaliation of merciful love, a retaliation of turning the other cheek, a retaliation of going that second mile, a retaliation of echoing his cry from Calvary, "Father, forgive them." This is something that we need his help to do. Today in the Gospel, we see precisely what was occurring from his own contemporaries to him. And the servant is not greater than the master. They picked up stones in order to kill Jesus. Jesus was unafraid. Jesus looked them in the eyes. And he said, I have shown you many good deeds from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me? Jesus was constantly trying to get them to accept the facts. The problem for them is that they had made their conclusion such that not only were they not listening to his words, but they refused to accept his deeds. They refused to read the signs that he himself had been given and the Father had been giving through him. We know earlier in Lent, the beginning of the fourth week, Jesus gave us five different signs that he was doing. Sacred Scripture, Moses, the five great witnesses, the Father, John the Baptist, and the works that he was doing. Today, Jesus really focuses only on two. Sacred Scripture, which they said they believed, and which they claimed to know, and then the works. The works were always the external, visible, tangible confirmation of his authority to speak. And he wanted them to accept both of these sources. So when they said, we're not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy, you, a man, are making yourself God. In a sense, they were right. They were hearing him correctly. He was claiming to be divine. But they didn't think that that could possibly happen, no matter how many his works. And so Jesus wanted to open them up. So the first he uses a rabbinical argument. It's not the most persuasive for us. It would have been very persuasive for them in their fundamentalist approach to sacred scripture. It's not written in your law. Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. This is Psalm 82, as you know. If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture can't be dismissed, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because he said, I am the Son of God? This expression in Psalm 82 was used for the magistrates, that they themselves were like God because they were exercising God's authority. And the psalm permitted them to be called that, precisely because it would apply first to Jesus and then to all of us. Through our divine filiation, Jesus has taken on our humanity so that we could share in his divinity and become truly in the image and likeness of God. That we would have God himself dwelling within. That we're not divine by our own power. We're not some Roman or Greek experiencing apotheosis. But God seeks to make us like him, to have his divine lymph flow throughout us. But they didn't want to accept that, even though it was clearly scripturally possible for Jesus to be saying what he was saying without blasphemy intended. But then Jesus wanted to take them more deeply. If I do not perform my Father's works, don't believe me. Clear test. Look at the works. Don't believe me if I'm not performing his works. But what were the works the Father said I would do? Go back to Luke 4, that scene in the synagogue there in Nazareth, which Jesus took Isaiah 61, and he explained quite clearly that all that the Messiah was supposed to do, he was fulfilling in their hearing. And then he would go on out, as you see, the way St. Luke structures his gospel, and perform every single one of the things that the Messiah was supposed to do. But they didn't want to accept it because they already had a clear and strong prejudice that he couldn't be the one because he was challenging them to change in a way that they weren't prepared to accept. But if I do perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works. Start there. They're not being done by Beelzebul. Why would he cast himself out of people he already possessed? Just start with the works. Because from then, you can get to the authority of the one doing them in his cooperation with the power of the one who alone can work miracles. you don't believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Even if you don't want to accept my divinity at first, recognize that the only way that this happens is because God is in me and I am cooperating with Him. But they didn't want to accept it. What does this mean for us as we prepare for Holy Week, as we continue to enter more deeply into the mystery of Christ? He wants us to ponder that we are to be like God, to grow fully into His image and likeness. That's the purpose of it all. And the way that we will convert the world for Him and His gospel is through our works done in faith together with Him. The greatest of all of these works, the works of merciful love, the gifts of a total faith in the Lord that leads to loving Him with all we've got. And because of our love for Him, and Scripture can't be set aside, then we love our neighbor by the same standard, because we recognize in our neighbor that same image in which we were made. We need help to do this. And that's why the Church on this Friday of the fifth week proposes to us the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, there's a beautiful saying in St. Louis-Marie Grignion de Montfort that St. John Paul II said that when he was a young man, 22 years old, converted him with regard to Our Lady. He had gotten to a stage in his life in which many had poisoned him to think that Mary might be an obstacle in our relationship to the Lord, that it was possible to love Mary too much. And he said St. Louis really helped him. And in his true devotion, Louis said, "Mary always leads us to Christ, provided that we relive her mystery in Christ." We prayed at the beginning of Mass today that through her intercession we might enter more deeply into that grace who is her Son. As we prepare for Holy Week, let us ask her intercession in a particular way to relive the mysteries we will celebrate next week within her contemplative heart, so that we, with her, can stand at the foot of Calvary and rejoice on Easter, so that we, like she did, might recognize the divine nature in which her Son came to remake us, so that we can become His greatest work of all. You know, when we look at the history of the Church, we see something extraordinary. St. Thomas Aquinas said about the proofs of the resurrection that the greatest proof of them all was the Church. That if you had a bunch of people who had betrayed the Lord when He was about to be arrested, a bunch of simple people at a time that was very earthy and not prone to virtual reality, if they were able to convert the ancient world, that a publicly executed carpenter from Nazareth had actually risen from the dead and was still very much alive, and that didn't happen, that would be a far greater miracle than the resurrection itself. And we're supposed to become that sign. When St. John Vianney was in Ars, people initially flocked there after his 9 years of the martyrdom of waiting in the confessional for people to come. But they initially flocked there because there was a person there who loved them with the infinite mercy of the Lord, being crucified to that coffin of the confessional 12 to 18 hours a day for the last 31 years of his life. But eventually, through him, the people of Ars were totally transformed, so that they became the greatest miracle of Ars, and people meeting them recognized that they were meeting God in men and women, and not just in the quarry of the little village. That's what the Lord wishes to do in us during this upcoming week, and He can, provided that we seek, with Mary's help, to relive her mystery. And the greatest way we prepare for that is entering wholeheartedly into the Paschal mystery, in which we participate fully every Mass.